I'll sit wherever you want me to sit.
The mic is hot, by the way.
Hello.
Test, test, test.
What's good, y'all? Hey, we're about to start in 5 minutes, but I'm going to make this an excuse for you all to make a friend with a person next to you. So introduce yourself.
Yes. And if they told us that if not all this, like if everyone doesn't move up, then people won't be able to get in. So try to sit with each other.
Rio.
Squad.
I'm good. Squad. I'm totally good.
I know you are.
I'm good.
Come on. God, I didn't want to sit next to you, though, because it feels even more pressure to be next to you.
I'm prompting it. Brandon wanted it, so that's why I did.
I wanted what?
You told me to print out the things for you.
Oh, wait, we did. In order of the...
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, wow.
I love that there's some masks, though, so I can't...
I'm going to put my phone on. Do not disturb.
D&D. Oh, there's Michael. There's my gang.
Who's here? Do we see people here?
Actually, I don't know.
He's comms at TixR.
Oh yeah, we were texting this morning.
Michael?
He's gonna be a teacher at Rowan. My brother goes there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
my half brother.
Cool. Yeah, he's a professor. Professor Michael.
Oh, there are you.
Not again.
I'm Maria, by the way. Oh, I just want to say hi. Nice to meet you.
I'm Nick.
It's not a test, sorry.
Do you find it interesting when black people celebrate St. Patrick's Day?
Interesting? I mean,
why don't you ask?
Think about it.
Ask the question.
No.
Let's ask right now.
It seems like just an excuse for drinking.
Yeah.
I don't see them as celebrating it really culturally.
I'm taking this off. Sit here.
And granted, like, I'm sort of wearing green today, but.
I only brought one pair of shoes for this whole trip, so this is where we are.
I can't believe people are here.
It's a good group. None of my coworkers are here, thank God.
Oh my God, that would make me a little nervous. I mean, I don't care. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm very open about this stuff on social media, so I have to like put my money where my mouth is.
Yeah. No, I think this will be cool.
Richard.
You just have to tell us if we go too long.
I know. I'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
It's so big. It's so nice.
Can you do like...
It was really fun.
20-minute warning, maybe? Okay. Like a 20 and then a 10.
I didn't see the program. Yeah.
You're all speaking at music biz.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Sydney's being asked tomorrow. I'm gonna make Sydney do this at Music Biz in a way. You have a panel. You're on something already.
Yeah.
You're on that.
Yeah. I'll be there. Might have to pay my way again, but yeah.
Hattie B.
Cardi B.
Should we take a picture? Oh, I really don't want a fucking microphone. No, I think I'm good. I'm a little nervous, so. Brandon.
Oh.
Okay.
How's everyone doing? Good. Are you guys ready for a weird panel? I think this is the pre-panel. When I posted this on Instagram for the first time, I was super nervous because I was like, oh, my family's about to hear that I weirdly closely associate myself with my job. But I was like, I was just like, Austin's weird, but this panel topic's going to be weirder. And like, that was what I wrote.
Amen.
Yeah, we'll get started soon. Oh, there's people here. Oh, wait, she got it. It's our unofficial fourth panelist.
I know.
She's sitting in the front. Oh my God. there's people in there.
All because of you, bud.
No.
I know, great job.
Guys, if you guys could all sit together, they told us if you guys don't do that, they won't let everyone in. So I want to make sure there's as many people that can watch this as possible. So sit next to each other.
Make a friend.
Make a friend.
Hope it's over.
COVID. Don't quote us on that one.
My identity is Alex Jones.
Is it up to us to get started whenever we want?
Birds aren't real.
I'd like to start on time. I'll start on. I can start whenever I want.
What's the name of that movement?
Birds Aren't Real.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah,
I'll give it like a minute or so.
Did you see the Taylor Lorenz? Like they like put a spell on her.
Oh yeah.
Like that.
Which she's into it, which is great.
I thought that was so funny.
Oh my gosh, so nice.
She's funny like
this
that.
This is so crazy.
Yeah.
Jenny!
So
she.
I think everyone's here to ask me about your organ.
What? No.
So, my Spotify artist isn't working.
Wow. There's a lot of people here. Okay, guys, we're going to get started. Cool to get started. Great. Can everybody hear me? Raise your hand if you can hear me. Raise your hand. Okay, cool. Raise your hand if you ever too closely associated yourself with your job title and it made you a little concerned. Okay. Good. That's why we're here, right? My name's Nick. I've never moderated a panel in person before. I've done it over 2 years on Zoom. So people might think I'm a pro. I'm not. I'm nervous and I'm scared. And we're literally gonna be so real in this panel that I will make sure that all my emotions come at it every time. But I think I'm just gonna introduce myself. My name's Nick. Sometimes I say my name as last name as Maley, as well as Maiale, and that's honestly for a couple reasons. My grandparents never really told me the correct way to say it. But also, I always associated myself with the company I worked at. I always said I was Nick from the company I used to work at, and I started to realize that wasn't the healthiest thing to do. And I didn't know how to pronounce my own last name. And that's not me being dramatic. That's actually a true story. I've recently talked to people that have a similar kind of story, so that's why I'm telling it right now, because I think it's so closely related to this. So I'm Nick Maiale. We'll figure it out one day. It's nice to meet you all. Thank you so much for being here. And weirdly enough, you'll see that this panel is all about like not associating yourself with your company, all that stuff, but our titles are on the screen. So it's a little bit of an oxymoron, but we did it for a reason, and we'll talk about it kind of at the end. But basically, just want to introduce this panel, introduce myself, and then we'll get into why we did this. But basically, this panel it's just all about like who we are outside of our music industry personas, jobs, just everything. You know, this is an industry, and the entertainment industry, you're very closely associated with what you can do for people, and all of that stuff and what they can do for you. So we're gonna talk about all the fun stuff. We're gonna be talking about getting on VIP lists, which we all probably tried to do this week, right? Raise your hand if you tried to get on a list this week or you couldn't get in somewhere. Okay, we're talking about that. We're gonna talk about getting fired from companies and what that does to your personal identity. We're gonna talk about a couple other things, but I'll tell my story real quickly. I 2 years ago to this week, I worked at a major conference that I still love and support. And it was canceled 2 months, obviously, because, you know, the pandemic happened. It wasn't South By. And when that conference was canceled, I felt as if I had no being, or I had no worth, or I had no just anything. I really used to go around that was my only identity. And when that conference was canceled, I felt as if I was canceled, as if, like, I just had no worth to anyone. And I just went down this spiral of, like, who am I? And all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, just make a long... I also felt like I was going to probably lose my job if I continued to think that way, which kind of got pretty scary. And then I started to just have these thoughts of, oh my God, like, who am I outside of this job? You know, what if I get fired? What if I get let go as a result of the pandemic and all of those things? So I just started building a company, and we'll talk about that at the end. But that's kind of my little personal story of kind of where I'm at. And we'll ask everyone to kind of go through their stories. But right now, I have a company called Jump Global, which we're an executive management company. I'm happy to talk about that separately other than this, but a couple things before we get started. We're all speaking from our own experience. So some of us do work at high-profile companies. We're talking about ourselves here. I do want everyone to know that. This is also the first conversation of many that we plan to have. So it's going to be so sporadic that, like, we're probably not going to get to everything, but definitely have questions. And raise your hand. Like, we don't have to do them at the end. We can do some at the end, but we'll definitely get to them. And you can scan that QR code. What's your question? That's his job right there. That's not part of my personal identity. Good? All good? You hear me better? Cool. I'll also try to lean in a little bit more. So it's the first conversation of many that we plan to have, because this isn't like a linear thing. Like, it's not about publishing or record labels. I don't know what I'm doing here. So we're just going to, you can scan that QR code if you want. We might like do meetups. We might just continue this conversation in another way. We might do it on Zoom in a week or maybe even tomorrow randomly. So that's something I want to say. The other thing is just maybe like a trigger warning. You know, some of these things we're about to talk about are just a little personal and could like just trigger people. So I did just want to say that like we might talk about some things such as losing your job and just some things that like you might just might, you know, impact you a little bit. So that's just a warning for now. We'll try to be okay with everything. So without further ado, I would love to introduce my friend Sydney. We'll go with Sydney first. Okay, and Sydney, cool. If you could just introduce yourself and kind of your little personal identity story if you have one.
Sure. So I think one of the reasons I definitely wanted to be on this panel is I work in the music industry. I've been at Spotify. It'll be 5 years in August. I'm currently the head of hip-hop and R&B there for artist partnerships specifically. But my background, I do not have a music background. I was not looking to work in music. I've had a very fun track out of college, I have to say. But at the end of the day, I've been someone who doesn't always know what I want to do. I just know what I don't want to do. My dad told me I had to go into business. I was like, okay, if I have to do that, I can't wear a business suit. I need to wear jeans. And right out of college, I decided to go into the ad agency business as an account manager. And right out of college, I worked at Wieden & Kennedy, which I like to say was kind of my bread and butter of learning how to work productions, activations that spread globally. People forget that Heineken sponsors like Coachella. Tribeca Film Festival, sorry, I'm a little nervous too. Tribeca Film Festival, Ultra, which was scarring, and James Bond. They also sponsored James Bond 1 year when I worked there, so got to go to Amsterdam and shoot a commercial, which was pretty intense for me, right out of college. Then from there, I went to a smaller agency. I was completely burnt out after Wieden. Decided to work at the Martin Agency, a smaller agency based in Richmond, Virginia. That was great, built a family there. And then from there, I moved out to LA to work at Chiat Day for what I thought was my dream job. I love sports. And I was gonna be on the Gatorade account. So, you know, shooting soccer commercials abroad sounded like a dream. Shortly after into that job, Spotify reached out and asked if I wanted to be a part of a new team, Artist Marketing, which no longer exists because they do a lot of reorgs there. And I actually turned it down in the beginning because I was like, I don't really know music. I love sports and I want to stay in this world. And then I got to know the team over at Spotify, which is at the time was a lot of incredible people, like very genuine music fans. And I learned quickly, I love to travel and I knew I was going to be able to travel a lot more in that role. So I jumped and I took the position and I've been there ever since. And again, I'm very grateful for what I do, but at the same time, it wasn't something I was looking for. So one thing I say to people all the time who want to get into music, I think there is a lot of paths to get there. And then, of course, we're going to go through this later, but I think because I wasn't looking to be in music, I approached the job a little bit differently from some people around me that have always wanted it right outside of college. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I think there's a way of, again, tying your identity to that job in a way that may not always be the most healthy or may impact your personal life more than you want it to. So I'm someone who I think I've always kept it separate because, again, I'm just kind of like, where can I have fun? Where can I remain inspired? Where can I work with really creative and smart people? And I hope that continues to navigate my path. So that's a little bit about me.
Cool. Thank you. Brandon?
Hey, everyone. So I'm Brandon Holman. And this is a topic that is really, really timely and passionate to me because throughout my whole career, even from when I was a little kid, I knew that I wanted to work in this business. Started interning at labels when I was like 15, just like in high school, middle school. And that got me to sort of like leave the music industry and go into tech because I wanted to get away from some of the egos that were in the room. I was at Bad Boy, I was at Roc Nation, and it was very much like get Diddy your cheesecake sort of like culture in New York. And I was always the youngest one in the room, and I was like, this is cool, but I don't want to climb up. And I was never in a fraternity, but like definitely getting, you know, hazed in the industry. So went to school in LA, went into tech, and knew that I was going to merge music and tech and sort of come back into music. So been at various places like Snapchat, TikTok, and now I'm at United Masters. But I think my identity got wrapped up so much in my job while I was at Snapchat. This was in like 2014, 2015, when Snap was becoming, you know, a $1 billion company. I was a person that sort of like onboarded DJ Khaled onto Snapchat because of my time at Roc Nation. You know, when Khaled dropped his iPhone in the ocean off of the jet ski, like I called Lenny S and was like, hey, like, let's get Khaled a new password. And we brought Khaled into the office and did that whole thing. So, you know, Snap was booming. I was booming. If I wanted to go to any concert, any party, anything, I would just email someone from Brandon at Snap and be like, hey, like, I want to meet. Let's talk. So it was just like the golden gates were just open, and I was just so wrapped up in like, I'm like this young, hot, young kid in tech and music, just like killing the industry right now. And then something really unfortunate happened, and I got fired from Snap. And just like, boom, like email deactivated, take your computer, your password. And I didn't save like nearly any of like my emails and stuff. So I'm guessing people's emails and like, hey, like I'm looking for a job. Here's my resume. And like no one would respond. And like, I go back to that PR chick who just got me into the event, like All Access. And I'm like, hey, like I want to go. Can I get a plus one? Like crickets. And I like just lost, ended like an 8-9 year relationship with like my high school college sweetheart. So I had no job, I had no relationship, and a lot of my identity was like, I'm in this like perfect Instagram relationship with this beautiful girl, and everyone knows that like I'm this relationship guy, I work at Snapchat, and all that was gone. So I was like what the fuck? Like who am I? Like, I'm not Brandon at Snapchat, and I'm not Triana's boyfriend. Like, I need to figure out my shit. So I started going to therapy, which I implore everybody here to, like, you know, talk to a therapist. And I also started getting into, like, spirituality and yoga and meditation, also psychedelics, which I recommended people to. As a way to like remove your ego. You know, there's this term of ego death in some psychedelic experiences. And once that veil sort of like cracks of like, you are not your name, you know, like we have all of these labels of, I was born in this city and these are my friends and these are my parents and our cultural puts and biases that make us who we uniquely are, you know, and some of that is important, you know, our ego is here for a reason, but once you get so attached to something that can literally be taken away in a second, like especially a job or a relationship or a friendship or a car, like how many people like love their dream car and then maybe you get in a fucking car crash and you don't have a car anymore. Now you're either driving a rental or whatever your insurance company buys, and now you feel embarrassed to be driving a hoopty and like valeting it in LA. I
love these analogies.
That was one thing that got me, you know, a little humbled. When I first got out to LA, I was driving a 1990 Honda Accord, and I was valeting this shit at like Soho House, fucking like every cool place, and I never was like, LA is like a car place, you know, people have like BMWs and stuff, and I was like, I don't really care about my car. My car is not my identity. My clothes aren't my identity, but my job did become that. So yeah, I've been on this quest and still continuing the meditation and spiritual stuff, which I'll probably touch on later. But I think it's so important, especially with young people in our careers as we're, you know, moving up, to remain humble. Just those people that we were talking to in the green room, there's these like old music industry vets, and what's their topic on, like,
it's like just like being nice to people.
Yeah, being nice to people.
Being nice to you.
Being nice to people.
It's called
so
the
like
long
it,
game.
Yeah, the long game. Being nice to people so like they don't, it doesn't bite you in the ass, and like that villain, that person who, you know, is currently an asshole, or if you're currently an asshole to the person that you're sitting next to, in a few years, you're going to be applying to a job, and that person's going to be the director of that department. So even seeing that perspective from these guys who are in their like 60s, 70s, it's so important to, you know, hold these things true. So, really happy to be speaking here and excited to continue this conversation.
We appreciate you, Brandon. It's a great. And last but not least, Maria, we've talked about this a lot. I think you gave me this idea, you know, probably one of the first people that have given me this idea of personal equity, and we'll talk all about that. But we actually did this on Clubhouse. We did all that on Clubhouse in the pandemic, and we did this panel, and something happened to Maria that day, and I think that was supposed to happen that day. So if you want to talk about, just talk about everything. But let's start with Maria being laid off from her job the day we were about to have this conversation, and it was important.
Yeah, so my name is Maria Gironas, first and foremost, and on April 14th, I remember the day, I was laid off. I got a call. I remember it was 11:30 because I had to hop into a meeting and I was running late, and I got a call saying that my role has been eliminated and today's my last day. Actually, funny enough, I wasn't actually told it was my last day until 6 o'clock that day. So, I was kind of in limbo for a good 5 to 6 hours. I think, I'm 27 years old, and I talk like I'm 60, but I think you find yourself in moments in life like that, where there's this lyric in a Matt Kearney song I love, that you're just a phone call from your knees. And I've always held that very true, and in that moment I felt it. And to understand too, I think for me, I don't know if I associated my identity with my job, but I was proud of it. I had integrity and conviction with it. And I put a lot of trust in a company, and I felt like robbed of that. And if you've ever been broken trust by any measure of the word, you could understand how that feels. And as it relates to that April 14th day, yeah, I got a, we had committed to this, doing this Clubhouse conversation on personal identity. And I just felt like what the hell? Like, I'll hop in a room with my dear friends who were so, so supportive and kind during that time. And I guess to understand a little bit my career, I've been working in music tech for 10 years, but I've done everything from being a signed artist to touring to winding cables to, working at top companies and such like that. And I think a part of that too, I've always had a complicated relationship with money, in the sense of wealth. I came from poverty, and coming into companies that literally spit money, it was really jarring for me to understand like how much money these people were making, frankly. And then also too, I'm a child of immigrants. My parents are immigrated from Bolivia, and I was born here. And I think to that vein of everything, I've never felt like enough. Like, I was never felt like enough of an immigrant, enough of a Latino, enough of a woman, in many aspects of my career. And so I'm just really excited to talk about today about a really honest conversation that I hope resonates with you all.
Thank you. Yes. This is an amazing panel. I love these people already. But I think I just want to kick it off with you, Sydney, again, since you said you didn't come from the music industry traditionally, and we had a very candid conversation when we first met, just about not coming from the music industry and feeling as if like you had to know everyone immediately, and people often associate with how many people you know. There's a term out there which I do not like. It's your network is your net worth. I understand it. I worked in business development and sales for 10 years, so I understand that. That's a really terrible thing to say.
Toxic.
No, it's a very toxic thing to say. And I've seen panel titles titled that. and it's really fucked up. So I'm just going to say that. For anyone that thinks that, whatever, no judgment, I guess, but, like, just think about it. Like, these stories that people, like, because your net worth is really not your net worth. I mean, your network is, whatever it is, stupid. So I would love to, like, yeah, it's great when you know great people and we can help each other out. I think that's what it's called. But, Sydney, I would love for you to touch on that because I think that's a very crucial part of this.
Yeah, I was telling them a story that when I first started at Spotify and I went through my first ever reorg, so I got kind of a new role where I was going to have to be more label facing. And, you know, just keeping up with the rosters, the releases, nominating them for campaigns, working with the sales team, working with managers, I was told by someone, you're probably not going to do that well because nobody knows you. And that was true. I did not know many label heads at all. I'm still learning. Sometimes
we know you now.
I feel like sometimes it's a strength to not know. Like, I'll walk in rooms and really not know the history or the drama or the tea because there's always something. Everyone has a history. Everyone's hated in some way. That sounds very negative. People are loved as well. But I think when it, you know, the amount of money you're dealing with, the careers that can be made in this industry, I get there's a lot of pressure. So all in all, though, I feel like I'm kind of happy I'm learning from the ground up, and that every relationship I've built has just, you know, been from the ground, from actually working things that I had a passion for with a great team. Also, it's never just me. It's always lots of people in the room that are also working these projects. I'm just one voice. But at least now I know, I feel like my portfolio of work or what I've been able to accomplish represents me more than just having every influencer's phone number in my phone, which I think actually I'm learning more and more. The whole network net worth thing, people can have a lot of numbers in their phone, but it doesn't mean they can get them in the room. Mm-hmm. And so so to me now, I feel like if I were to ever meet someone new that walks in and hasn't had any music industry experience, that's fine. As long as you have the good ideas and the work ethic and the right team and you're telling stories with integrity, like, that work is going to speak for itself and the right creators are going to want to come to you and work with you.
I love that. And that's, you know, one of their main, for many reasons, that's why I want you on to be on this panel. But, like, that's such a, you know, is everyone from the music industry? Like, raise your hand if you weren't in the music industry but made a transition into the music industry. Okay. 5 people, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Great, cool. Does everyone work in the music industry or entertainment industry in a way?
Cool. Love it.
Who's just interested in this topic? Love it. we got you over there. Cool. You have a question? I don't know.
I'll say that when I first started, I met so many people that didn't go to college, which I was like, wow, college is a scam. Why did I go? They were party promoters or working at venues since they were 16, 17. And to me, like, they came up through the game that way. And some of those relationships and those projects are, to me, really, really admirable and strong. That's what I think of.
To add to that, there's a book called Atomic Habits by James Clear that I love. I'm getting a lot of nods here. It's game sees game. There's something in the book that I've always really resonated with me is, like, people are, like, don't want to do something because they're not the thing or they're not amazing at it. And so to be from the music industry is because you do it and you choose it every day. So that's my definition of it. If you choose this industry, like, it is yours.
Yeah. And I would just say, like, I mean, it's just mine. Like, I knew at, like, a young age, like, it was this or nothing. Like, I knew that I wanted to work at, like, a label, a streaming service. That never happened. I've never worked in any of those places. I did work in the music industry in a different capacity, in music events, for almost 10 years. But, yeah, I guess that's kind of the way I kind of see it or whatever. We're all kind of learning what that means to work in the music industry or for the music industry or around it. But I kind of want to talk a little bit more about something we're all, like I said before, we've all been dealing with this week. Because it does, like, there's this what constitutes your personal equity or how much you're worth. Because we're kind of all seeing that this week. Like, oh, who's on this list? Who's on that? Like, who got into the Empire part? I see the eye rolls. I see it. Like, I mean, we did it all week. We're here to, you know, there's, you know, I heard of some crazy things. You know, there's some fun things. But, like, there's some things that, like, we couldn't get into. And, like, that makes you feel like, oh, my God, am I not worthy of like, you know, to go to this? Or, oh my, like, this person did. Like, you're constantly comparing yourself to people. And, you know, this is something we've talked about. I would love to Aaron gets invites now. I would like to talk more about that a little bit, you know, like going from like a little more of a gatekeeper-y role to, you know, a little more of a push versus pull type situation.
Yeah. So for me, you know, I started in this industry very young. So I had a fake ID. I'm very good at, I said when I didn't have my Snap email, guessing people's email address. I'll do first name, last name, first initial, last name, period in the middle. Like, I'll send a couple before and have my red receipts to be like, okay, they read it, they got it. So I was telling Maria, because, you know, she started this South by Southwest chat with a couple people in the crew in this room. Invites, RCPs, just like all day, all day, all day, all day. And this year I was like, I'm not RCPing to shit. Like, I'm just really overwhelmed by this, like, gotta go here, gotta leave to go to Orchard right after this, and then go with this, and this. Like, I've done, this is maybe like my eighth South By. I've ripped and run through Austin so many times. And I typically don't feel the burn in Austin unless there's like a really exclusive sort of secret Jay-Z dinner or some shit that I'm like, shit, like, I'm gonna go to that. And you know, but South By, there's so much going on that, like, you know, you can find something, you'll have fun. If you don't, if the line's too long, go to a bar, meet up with a friend, like, you'll still have a good night. I think for me, I still feel it Grammy weekend. Like, Grammy weekend is like so much anxiety that comes, you know. And I'm happy this year that it's in Vegas. Half of it is in LA. A lot of people aren't going, so I don't feel bad. I'm like, Nick just asked, are you going to Grammy week? I'm like, no. Like, it's not that big of a deal. But if it was in LA, and every year, the Rock Nation brunch, like, everybody, like, that is the party that will, like, are you a gatekeeper? Like, are you somebody? And then I'll see people, though, that I'm like, how the fuck did they get invited? Like, they're, like, they don't do shit. Like, they're just, like, they carry, like, they're, like, Future's weed guy. Or, like this is, like, a random A&R dude. And, like, they take the pictures next to Jay, and, like, they're acting like they're in the crew. And I'm like, you're not in crew. So, like, you're pretending. And so, like, that's what sometimes snaps me out of it, of being, like, this person is also, like, has all this anxiety and, like, all the fears and shit that I have, because, like, look at them. Like, they're posting the selfie. All they care about is getting the picture next to Jay-Z so they can look cool on Instagram. And, like, as neurotic as I'm being because I'm not there, like, they're also neurotic, too, because, like, they're doing all this weird shit. Like, if they're really friends with Jay, like, they don't have to take a picture with Jay at the fucking brunch. So, like, I just got in this mode, too, like, a couple weeks ago. I was really getting anxiety because I wasn't in, Miami or Atlanta to go to the Kanye thing. I was, like, stuck in L.A., and I couldn't go to the Kanye thing. Some friends were at the Kanye thing, and I see this guy, random Future-type A&R dude, don't know what the fuck he does, but, like, he's on a jet, and I'm like, I want to be on a private jet. Like, I'm a director of artist marketing, and, like, I'm just on Zooms all day, but, like, this dude is on a jet with a chain and a Louis bag, and he's going to Kanye. So, like, I'm looking at all of his pictures on Instagram, and I didn't like anything, right? I was scouring his page, and I was like, damn, like, this guy looks fucking cool. So then after I went to his page, I get this follow, and shout out to my friend on Instagram here. I want to find out, you know, what this guy did, because I didn't like any of his photos. But as soon as I left his page, he followed me and liked 20 pictures and then commented on a picture from 2 years ago of, like, Father's Day with my son, and he said, Happy New Year 2022. So I was like, this is some weird bot, crazy shit. And then I was like, snap out of it again. I'm like, okay, this guy's flexing on the internet, but, like, how sad is this man to, like, be botting people and trying to make this facade of, like, I was like, all of his followers are bot. Like, this is fake. I looked at his followers, they're, like, all, like, weird accounts. And then he's fishing and trying to
get me to follow him and do this shit? I'm like, yeah, he looks cool. He's on a jet, but like, he's probably a fucking scammer. And then my son like came outside and I was like, okay, wait, like I looked at my Instagram. I'm like, I have a wife, I have a kid, I have a decent job. Like, these are the things that matter. Like, yes, I want to be a Kanye because Donda 2 sounds cool, but like, it's not about like me taking the photo on the yacht to like look cool. So I have to remind myself to snap out of it. I think also something that also neutralized it, I'll be quick, but my son was born on BET weekend. Another Grammys is like, you know, a BET weekend, another one of like, all right, this is like, this is a shit. But so my wife like went into labor like on Friday night, and like that morning I had plans to go to the Spotify party. I think it was like at the same house that they did the Rock Nation brunch at, like with those trees and shit. So I was like, okay, I haven't been to the Rock Nation brunch, wanted to see that house, but I'm going to go to Spotify party the next day. So I'm like literally in the hospital, like looking at everyone's Insta stories. I'm like, everybody's at this party. Like,
it was a really good party.
Right? I heard it was good.
I wasn't invited.
Everybody went to the culture creators brunch, whatever. Then they went to the Spotify party. Everyone's asking me, are you at the party? I'm like, I'm at Cedars right now having a baby. So but I'm like, okay, stop on Instagram. Focus on my family. And now my son's birthday is over BET weekend. So I have no choice but to like be at a kid's birthday party while other people are having a fun LA weekend. And like every year now, I'm like, that shit doesn't matter because even though I wasn't at the Spotify party, I was there because of Instagram, and like I know the vibe, like I know the deal. Like I was there. It would have been nice to actually meet people, but you know I could transport myself there because once you go to one, you've been to them all. That's why South by's not that bad because you already know the vibe. It's like, all right, tacos, drinks, DJ, people standing around. Actually, not that fun. Next morning, you're like, was it fun? And you're like, no, not really. But when you're in line, you're stressing out, trying to get in, and then you get in, and it's like, this fucking sucks. So I just need to remind myself of that, and it ebbs and flows, and I'm not perfect. I'm not, you know, I'm only human. But yeah, just like, think of that when you're stressing out about, like, I didn't RSVP, and da 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 da. Like, it's not that fun.
I love that.
Hang out, be with your friends. Like, that's the real important stuff.
So that kind of segues a little bit. Marie, I want to ask you this question. Be with your friends. What does personal equity mean to you, I would say? And then maybe what does it mean to, would you say, as it pertains to the industry? You know, like, what's important to you as a person, or what can be important to you as a person? Brandon talked about his son. And then let's talk about some things that are important to people in the music industry, like party invites.
What does personal equity mean to me is the ability to define yourself by your terms and not what society has created for you. I think oftentimes you define yourself by your job, by your astrology sign. And
Virgo.
No, and I think there's this concept of boxes I talk to people about from the day you were born, you were asked to identify, without your consent for that matter, you're a male or female, if what your name is, and things like that. So you're put into boxes and categories from the day you were born, and from then you are kind of conditioned to be able to continue to do that throughout your life. So my challenge in personal equity is choosing, like, not choosing boxes, creating them, almost. Like, the things you choose that give wealth to you, and the things you take away that don't have power over you anymore. The recent conversation I had with a friend, you know, after I lost my job, I lost trust in that moment over a company and the people I put trust in. And, you know, I remember my first thought was like, man, I don't trust anyone. And then my thought later on was like, I don't trust anyone. You know, because I think as long as you put like the worth in yourself and the equity and the personal development you've done, they can't take things away from you. No one can rob you of those things. We don't live in a society anymore that, you know, as a person of color, I can even say this, like, you know, I have the privilege of being able to, you know, identify as queer and Latin amongst other things. And many people don't have that privilege. So we have to exercise our rights to be able to create space for others that don't have the privilege to be able to do so or the voice to do so. So as far as personal equity, I'll surmise by saying that you choose your identity. No one does.
I love that. Amazing. Sydney, I kind of want to ask you this. Do you feel like you get treated differently because of where you work and what you can do for people? And how does that make you feel?
Definitely. It's not lost on me that I think if I stepped out of this position or I went to a new job that I'm not going to get calls the same way. I think what you went through, the same thing will happen to me. I will not get those invitations. I'll not get music early. I just won't be on anyone's radar anymore. It's fun. When I first came in music, I started to think I was making all these friends. And I was like, you know, a couple things happen, and it's not even anything major, but you see very quickly, if you have good friends, which I'm blessed to have, that I was not making friends because they were not there for me in moments that I thought they would be. They would not call back even about projects that I thought were in motion. One thing I love about music, and it's also tough in comparison to ad agency world, ad agency is like pretty strict. You stay in your lane, every role is very defined, timelines are defined, you have a set number of projects, you go into production, you know what your deliverables are, you know when it's going live. In music, I love the fact that it's so flexible, that you can work on a million things, but what's also awful is those million things could all fall through the cracks at any moment. There could be projects you work on for 3 years versus 2 months. You just never know. Depends on the artist team, depends on the label, what have you. So I say all that to say, I think I'm just learning how to do business better with people in a way that I set my boundaries. So like I know that they're not my friend, they're a business contact. So when they try to offer favors or take you out in a specific way, I feel like this is kind of dark to say, but I'm kind of like, nothing in this world is free. Nothing's free. Even if it's free booze, free this, free that, it's taking your time, it's taking your energy. Something is going to be taken from you. So you just have to be very prepared of what that give and take is. And I think I'm learning throughout my life that's going to continue to happen. I just have to be really smart about it.
Yeah. I've done panels in the past, like where I program panels. I used to do that for a living. I still do it here and there for a different conference. And I always get, you know, the cookie trays and the stuff at Christmas. And, you know, I get all the slippers and, you know, all that fun stuff. And it's also strategic. I love it. But I noticed, like, if I, you know, sometimes people really feel entitled to things. Like, if I can't get them on a panel, if I can't do something for them, like, immediately, it's like a little aggressive. So I always tell people, I've been saying to people, like, every time you send me a text for my birthday or you like send me this or food or just anything, like, just know if you ever do that to me, like, or put me in a weird position after you do that, like, all that stuff is thrown right out the window. Like, every cookie tray I've ever been sent, like, pajama pants, like, all that weird shit that we, like, sometimes get, like, it doesn't mean shit. Like, it's a bit crazy how companies do that sometimes.
Well, everyone cares about the bottom line. So if you can help someone's bottom line, if you're helping someone make money, great job. But the minute that stops, you're going to see a change in behavior, most likely. Or there's very few people that will actually continue to grow with you that recognize that it takes a lot more work than that, like, instantaneous profit or whatever it is, fame, whatever they're trying to get to. So that's kind of how I see it now.
I think I absolutely agree in the sense of, like, the material things don't really matter in the end. And there's a quote by Mark Cuban that I always liked, and I don't necessarily love him, but money's not the most important. It's always important. It's just, like, something that we have to work in life to, like, trade for things that we need, you know? To challenge that a little bit, like, there was a point, I worked at YouTube, like, I got a Supreme jumpsuit, not in my size, but I was fucking stoked. You know, there was a point in my life to recognize, like, there's going to be a point in your life where you have to do the thing your company tells you, and you think because you have to, but the truth is they have no power over you. Given, you know, there's rules and things and respect and conviction you need to have with whatever you do in life, whether it is, my parents always tell me, I don't care what you do, if you want to sell ice cream, be the best fucking ice cream salesman, you know? But within all that, there's a point that you learn to grow, and you have to acknowledge these points in your life that where you have growth. So, like, for example, like, someday you might be giving gifts to these random Spotify editors and making these packages or TikTok or whoever, and that's okay. And there's a point that you're going to realize that, you know, maybe it'd be better if just, like, met them. And if they don't give you, they think they're too good for your time, that's a challenge in itself. Just acknowledging with full humility and transparency your intentions, I think, is the core of importance of genuine human relationships. It's not the gifts you give them.
Yeah, I think to that too, it's also like when you're in those roles, it's sort of like establishing your own like moral compass.
The way you do business.
Yeah, the way that you do it, because even in my role now, like sometimes I've been asked to tap on people in my network to send them something or to make that call. Hey, like, Brandon, reach out to the TikTok team. Like, we need a billboard. We need this. I'd be like, no. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, if we're going to do it, like, let's come correct. Just because they're in my phone does not mean that you have access, like, to this person. Mm. You know, like, these are my friends first or their former colleagues. That doesn't give you carte blanche to, like, harass them because now I'm attached to this company. So I think sometimes, especially like jobs will poach you because of your perceived network. Like I'm former TikTok, so we need Brandon to run the TikTok strategy and he's going to pitch everybody a TikTok. Or like you said, like former Spotify people getting poached for a label job because the label's like, we're going to get all the Spotify playlists. And, like, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Like, just because you have a relationship does not mean that you have the golden ticket. And I think some people then aren't comfortable pushing back on their company when they know in their heart, like, this email, they're not going to read it, or, like, it's going to get deleted. This is not the vibes. But I have to do it because my boss is like, we need to send mailers out to editors. You know, get comfortable with pushing back on your company once you establish, you know, what your values and morals are.
Yeah. I have a question, and this is such a safe space, like, I will not judge anyone I'm about to raise my hand to. Has anyone ever treated anyone differently because of the place they worked? Have you ever caught yourself doing that? Okay, cool. So we're all normal, and we're all equal. Did you say no? No, Sydney?
No, I have.
Okay. I mean, I think it's just important to acknowledge that. I think we'd all be lying if we said we haven't done that. If we get to, I mean, I think we've gotten, like, I think the people on this panel, at least that I know personally, like, I feel like all of our intentions are pretty pure now where we're at. Like, we all went through, like, something pretty traumatic over the last 2 years. I think that it's also pretty, you know, we're having this conversation at the right time. But I just realized we actually only have, like, 20 minutes left, and I definitely want to leave time for questions. Does anyone going to have a question? I just want to make sure, raise your hand if you're going to have a question. Okay, we have one question. We're going to have three questions. Okay, cool. So I'm probably just going to ask this one final question and get into questions because we can just talk for days. I think, like, just, like, real quickly, like, what are some of the things that you think we can do to, like, just push past this? I just want to have a little bit of a solution here so we're not just bitching for the next, like, you know, talk about meditation, all that stuff. We'll do this really quickly, though, because I want to get to the topic. So, Brandon, you want to go first?
Sure. I think developing, you know, community, authentic relationships really helps. Forming a tribe and of peers who are on your level in the industry, who can help ground you, who you can grow with. I think that's one thing. And then the other, you know, like I said, my biggest sort of like ego identity neutralizer has been just a spiritual practice. There's this really good meditation from Deepak Chopra called, it's like an I am meditation, and other forms of things. There's a lot of like I am mantras, and as Maria was talking about, of these boxes and identity that, you know, come onto us the second that we're born, and someone gives us a name, and you're born in your city and place and town, and, you know, there's so much nostalgia in, like, your identity. It's like, this is who I am. Like, you know, Nick, you were like, I'm that Philly kid, you know, like, me. Like, I have so much attachment to, like, I was adopted. Like, I grew up in this city. I went to school in LA. Like, these are my friends. This is me. Like, that's all ego. And once you start doing an I am meditation, you start identifying with yourself, like, without your name, without your gender, without all of these things. And at the end, you're just like, I am. Who are you? I am. Like, that is so powerful in itself. Like, if you really sit with that, it's like, I am. You're just pure being, your soul, where we all can tap into that power. And once you relinquish these stories, the programming, the identity that we all pick up, and remember that you are something like so much more powerful than any of these boxes, that's been something, you know, extremely transformational to me. And I love how it now, you know, shows up in my work. It shows up how I show up with friends, even when I'm talking to artists and they're going through anxiety because Sydney didn't give them a billboard at Spotify.
And Sydney.
And I have to tell them that there's so much more than Sydney's billboard in Times Square. That they're an amazing creative artist, and like, who cares about like the DSP like placements? I guess we need playlistings so your music can stream. But that is not your identity. Like, you are not a shitty artist if you don't have a billboard in Times Square. Like, let's all remember that. And like, the amount of times I have to talk to artists about that and talk to the label teams about that, like, it's insane. So yeah, I'm just trying to, you know, do things that just like peel away the layers of the attachment and identity. I think it's really important. And family too, like family, friends. Again, that's the authentic relationships. Like, my wife really grounds me. My kid really grounds me. My wife hates when labels and shit send me packages. She's like, what is this shit? Like, she like will literally throw it away or like make me, not, I can't bring it in the house. I work in the garage. She's like, do not bring in another fucking mug. Like, we don't need it. And like, why are they sending you this shit? I'm like, I don't know. So that's my story.
Maria, you want to go next?
Yes. Sorry, what was the question?
I don't know.
Sorry. I just want to make sure. I think, I mean, what saved me was, you know, therapy, starting to work out. Honestly, it's the little things, making sure I eat 3 meals a day. Making sure I call my parents more, making sure you don't skip out on that meeting with your friend. My friend Kate, sorry, she passed away. Passed away January of 2021. She was 30 years old. And she never got a pap smear. And she passed away from ovarian cancer. Oh, thank you. That's very sweet. So do the things to take care of yourself. Fill up your cup so you can give more to others. Is the big thing. And just take time for yourself. Because that'll be the time that's worthwhile.
Super quick. I was thinking of two things. One, I think this is ever evolving, so I don't think there'll ever be like a specific answer. For me, some of the people I look up to the most in this industry are very quiet. They're not very public about all the incredible things they're doing. They just do them. So I try to emulate that and just continue to let my values show up in the work that I do and hope that the right energy vibrates towards me, and that means success in my career in some form or fashion. Secondly, sometimes I feel like the best ideas are literally right in front of us, and we're so quick to jump to like, let me get to the superstar, let me get to the person with trillions of followers, when really the coolest idea is starting with someone who is emerging and developing that story with them, and you never know where that's gonna go and like how strong of a relationship that will be. And it also, I think, will come with so many challenges that you're able to do so many more things after it because of everything you've learned and the skill sets you've developed. So some of the best creators to me in music or even in film are doing are telling the stories that are right in front of us. So for me, I encourage my team and the departments to, like, we don't always have to grab for the stars. I think sometimes it's right in front of us, and hopefully community will build and we will create the right atmosphere that we're all looking to work in.
Yeah. I'm going to make mine super quick, too, so we can get to questions. I think that's the most important thing is I think I just had to go through something very traumatic to think this way. I can't discount that. I think even though it just sounds kind of stupid, I definitely, like, the fear of, like, not being associated with a very powerful gatekeepy conference, I was more upset about that than when I had a family member pass away. So I learned that was a little – that was not – normal. So that's kind of why I started to think about this panel topic and started to think about this stuff 2 years ago. But what I kind of do just now is, like, I just sit in the morning, I'll just be like, or if something happens, like if someone sends me a shitty text or an email, which is every second of my life these days, I go through, like, a list, like, is my mom okay? Is my nephew okay? Like, I'll go, yes. And then I'll be, is my grandma okay? I don't know. And then, like, then I'll go, like, is my cousin okay? And I'm like, no, because she has cancer. Like, I'll it's a yes and no. And then I'm like, okay, I went through that whole list, and, like, what the fuck is this other list? You know, mm-hmm. like, so I think that's my thing that I've been doing, like, very recently. That's kind of it, I think, from that. Because I would love to get to these questions, because you guys have a lot. We only have 10 questions. I mean, 10 minutes. And we're going to go over a couple minutes. So, okay, cool. So I was going to say, is it cool if we go over, like, 5 minutes? Yeah, right? Yeah, okay, cool. So let's get to questions. And that's, like, a little thing that we set up. If you ever want to, like, submit questions there, we're not going to answer them now, but, like, we didn't want to put our Instagram. You feel free to connect with us in any way. We'll talk about that after. But, like, we just wanted to put that QR code up there if anyone wants to, like, just email us or whatever after. But who wants to go? I'm up there already. Amazing. What's your name? What's your question?
Tick, tick, tick. Yeah, you can hear me. My name is Jen. I'm a singer, songwriter, producer, originally from Paris, France. I don't really have a question. I just wanted to share a little bit of my experience. When I was 17, a year of graduation, I had a motorcycle accident. Sent me 2 weeks in hospital. Then I had 2 weeks of wheelchair and 2 weeks of crutches. It was really a tough experience because while I was in that bed, in that hospital, I didn't see the sunlight for 2 weeks. I didn't have access to fresh air. So that was my piece of hell, I would say. Whenever I meet people who have been through tough experiences, I just tell them to, it's hard, but just embrace it. Because you can't really fight it. There's no turning back. And all I've been through, if I had to do it again, I'd do exactly the same thing the same way, because I've learned so much through that experience. I've learned the value of life. I thought I was going to lose my legs. I'm a guitar player. I thought I was going to lose my fingers because I had serious injuries. I still have some scars on me. And I mean, just wear it all as a medal of honor. You know, you've been through some tough times, but you can grow out of it. You can become a better version of yourself. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate that. Amazing. Hello.
Hey, everyone. My name is Chima Green. Great panel. Great words.
Thank you.
Shout out to you as well, Maria, for the Measure of Music moderation that you did as well. That was great.
Thank you
so much. So, question, right. So, I was recently let go of my previous employer and, you know, all the feelings, you know, it was 7.5 years, etc. Navigating the next thing. It's 2022. What resonated with me, Sydney, was your comment about you admiring people who kind of move silently and accomplish great things. But I realized as kind of a counterpoint, I think I naturally had a tendency to approach my life, my work that way, kind of being humble, being modest. But it's also 2022. I mean, there's certain value in, I see social media as visibility, just as a form of communication, even if it's, you know, the authentic version of that is just communication, you know, communicating, I'm here, I'm doing this. So there has to be kind of that balance, at least in my opinion. How do you all kind of try and find that balance without going maybe overboard? and getting too caught up in it, you know, kind of the gram kind of thing, versus, you know, actually getting things done?
That's your question. I mean, I agree. I think it's a delicate balance, and I go back and forth all the time. You're talking to a psychopath who's gone, like, private and public a million times on Instagram. I'm like, I can't do this. I'm always like, this is overwhelming, and that could just be my personality. And I definitely see others in the business who scream and shout what they do on a daily basis. But I think it depends on, like, I try to go with my gut instinct of, like, okay, mm-hmm. I don't necessarily know exactly where I'm going to end up. I'm not saying I would love to be CMO one day, but I think if I were to be CMO, I look at the CMOs out there and the ones that I think I would like that the path most similar to them are a little quieter. And I also think it begs the question of, when we talk about this all the time, talent, being talent versus being an executive. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've seen a lot of executives move into this space of, like, they're so adjacent to fame and they're artists, mm-hmm. and they're getting more press articles than their artists, and they're so, like, but then it gives them more opportunity to potentially become talent in film and TV. So, like, if that's a route you want to go down, I also think I fully support that too. And to be honest, I am still figuring it out.
Yeah,
I think to add on to that, Sydney mentioned it. It's trusting your gut, and you said the word authenticity. Does it feel authentic to you? I think once you start posting things without the expectations and the judgment of others, and if it feels right to you, even if you want to over promote, share, if, like, you judge it from that lens, if you're comfortable with it, like, you, no one else is, like, you're is judging, you know? Yes, they are, because it's Instagram, but, like, being comfortable with, like, I don't give a shit, like, I'm gonna post 20 pictures of my event because I'm really proud of my event, mm-hmm. Or I'm not gonna post this because I don't want to post right now. Like, if you're comfortable, then I think over time, people will also resonate with, like, your authenticity, whatever, like, your content style is, and they have no choice but to accept it because that is who you are. It is what it is. So I think a lot of the times, the do I go private, do I not go private, like, that, like, it's all the internal anguish of, like, what is going on, and then a lot of the times it's like, people actually don't really care. So, like, if you're comfortable, then everybody else is, because they're just watching stories.
Last thing I'd argue, I'm just now starting to figure out some things are not my strength, which is publicity. So, like, I need to work with a publicist to figure out if this is the route I'm trying to go down, if these are the types of people I want to work with, right? Like, I love Ava DuVernay, Issa Rae, Michaela Cole. These are people I admire. How do I get to rooms like that? And I think sometimes I'm now relying on those people to tell me, this is how you do it. These are the things they're looking to do, or this is the path they're on, and these are the contacts you need to make.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
What's up?
I think I just wanted to undone the XLR.
Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, first of all, I want to say thank y'all. I walked in here. I was in that the long game panel, and then something up there told me that I needed to come in here. Within the first 5 minutes, I was already in tears from what y'all were saying, so thank you. I guess I don't really know what my question is. My journey in the creative space, you know, 10 years ago, I decided to take a leap outside of my traditional upbringing and take a shot at music and go to music school. Did the whole record label thing in Los Angeles, you know, slew things in the last 2 years, maybe re-identify my value systems and really look into that and start my own company. And I guess my question is, this is kind of unrelated, do y'all have some sort of Discord, or y'all four have sort of, like, some sort of, like, community to talk about this? Because, like, what y'all said was very powerful, and I did scan that. I started it with a quote from you, your one phone call away from your knees. That's pretty powerful. And so I don't know if y'all do actually have a community or a space where you specifically are chatting, but it'd be really cool to be able to hear more from you in chat, because it was powerful.
Make the Discord, Nick.
Nicholas.
So I think we just wanted to gauge interest to see what this would look like going forward. But I think the answer is yes, we will create something, and it will include, I had a really cool dinner last night with a new friend and that Sydney introduced me to, that had a very similar story, and I feel like there's a lot of other people that have those stories. and we have to keep talking about this because like everyone has, it's so important. And if we're going to like change the music industry or the entertainment industry, or I guess any industry, I'm just, this can be so applied to finance and legal and, you know, like that kind of, let's commit to that right now, guys. All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
The other thing I would add there as well is like, I would implore you to create your own community, you know? I think kind of the essence of diversity inclusion, the mistake people often make is like, I need to go to New York City. I need to go to Los Angeles to change things.
Yep.
Tacoma, Washington, bumfuck Indiana, like wherever, you know, your home is and your tribe and your community, start developing that and starting conversations. That's how real change is made.
Absolutely. So well, I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Marina created a community, and that's how we met. It was one of the first things of the pandemic, and they could change so many people's lives. Many micro communities came out of it, including this one.
I have a meditation community on Clubhouse called the Mindful Creative. We do two meditations a week, Monday and Wednesday. I'm not as active on it leading meditations, but I probably will be in a couple weeks, months. But my client, friend, Ian Davis, leads beautiful meditations, and we do some off-platform stuff too. And I teach yoga and meditation. Doing a sound bath tomorrow at Soho House if anybody's a member.
Thank you.
So how many people do we have left? Cool. Just one. Save the best for last. All right.
And on time too.
What's up?
How you going? Thanks for sharing. It was amazing. I was just wondering, do you feel like momentum in a career is like a real thing, or do you think it's just like a false thing? Like, do you think
I love this question because I just like a conversation I always have with people. Your career is non-linear. Also, just because something doesn't last forever doesn't mean it wasn't great. So, you know, as things you do in your life, you think this is your peak and you think this is your peak. But I promise you, this is a roller coaster of a lovely existence that you will live with other people in the lowest of lows and the highest of highs. And if you stay present and live in discomfort, you will find and relish in the opportunity to live in delight.
Oh my God.
We're just so thankful that everyone was here.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah. Guys, my mom needs to see a picture of how many people are here. So, if you want to see a picture right now of everybody, thank you so much. Cool. Appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you. I guess we're going to have that.
That was so good.
Yeah, Nick, you killed it.
us in the right direction. That's the way.
Thank you so much. This has been my favorite panel so
yeah?
far.
Yeah, you enjoyed it?